Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and I'm here for you. This is why I come. Yeshua is here for you, and he called you. Whoever is here, we know that you are called. He has something to say to you. He has something to give you. He has a special blessing for you. So just relax and be here. The first thing we're going to do today is have a little study time together. We're going to finish chapter 11 today, and we may, I'm going to rearrange what we actually talk about a little bit, just a little bit, to match up more perfectly with the events of the world and what's been happening. I'm sure that everyone here is, well, no, it's not a good thing to assume, but I do imagine that most of you are aware and perhaps have been listening to the tributes to the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I've been listening also because I am always interested in the voice of love, of compassion, and tribute for human life. And I'm also very, very much distraught and against the use of violence to silence and to stop our communication with one another, because we must feel free to communicate so that we can understand one another better. And one of the ways we are most guilty in stopping communication is turning it into polarity. It doesn't matter if you're, which side you're on. If you're part of the division, it doesn't matter. The division is what's wrong. And I didn't really know that much about Charlie's life because I don't listen to podcasts. And I wasn't very much into the dialogue surrounding the election of 2024, which was one of his biggest platforms and points of influence. So I was shocked when I heard that he had been shot, but it didn't occur to me instantly that he was dead. I was thinking, oh, that's terrible. Oh, my goodness. I said a prayer and thought certainly he would survive it, whatever, wherever it hit him. And then I was literally mortified when I heard that he was dead. What a sacrifice. What a critical loss to all of us, because the little I knew, the thing I admired the most about him is that he was not forwarding divisiveness. He would take either side. And is there somebody there needing to say something? Okay. Well, Nancy, I'll let you take charge of the board. You're the one in charge there. But I really like that no matter what argument people would bring to him, he would talk to them. He didn't back away from it. And I know that this is the way Yeshua lived. He didn't back away from anything. And it's not because he had some immunity against pain. One of the most poignant messages about his life were the last few minutes he endured before his arrest. He literally prayed that this horrible forward play that was about to happen to him would be lifted from him. He didn't want to suffer. He didn't want to endure that. But he surrendered his will And he said, Father, thy will be done. I don't think there's any greater message in the history of language or literature in which this chapter could be made clearer and more important. And that is that in the presence of God's will, we become immune to our own fear. Because we know that in sharing a canoe with God, if you will, we're going to get home safely. In the light of God's will, there are answers. And we may have to fast forward into the future to surmise what those answers might be. We might have to live through circumstances in order to find what those answers might be. But one of the things God does not take us into is divisiveness. God is unity. God is peace. And if you remember the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be considered the children of God. God is about peace. He's about unity. And I pray that whatever happens in the aftermath of this great tragedy, that we move into greater peace, greater union, and perhaps on both sides, we discover that division is not the answer. There is no better side, because in God's will, there should be no sides at all. Yes, we are called to make decisions, but the decisions we make are about our life. We are not called to make decisions for other people unless other people have first decided to elect us to an office to make those decisions. But ad hoc, out of the saddle, racing on the ground, we don't get to make other people's beliefs for them. There is nothing closer to our heart than our belief. And sometimes, unfortunately, the beliefs we hold are wrong. Yeshua said that to me, and it's said many times in his teachings to the apostles. The price of freedom is that we're free. And that freedom becomes more meaningful when we devote our lives to finding the truth. To finding the truth within yourself and the truth within circumstances that surround you and lead you forward. We are here to become one great race of humanity. We are here to reunite our countries, our many, many countries, some of them in great distress right now. We are here to unite our families, our communities, and to find common cores for our beliefs, that one by one, we can unite and become one. So I just want to express my thanks for the service that Charlie gave to our country and to the hope he actually gave to the world. There are parades all over the world right now. It wasn't just us we influenced. And we have no idea how far that will go or what was God's will in all of this. So let's be peaceful in our hearts. That's what he would want. Be peaceful to one another. That's what he would want. And Yeshua says to all of us, love one another. We must find a way to love more. Love with more surrender and patience to the rights of others to find their own way to the truth, to peace, and to happiness. And we pray that they will find it. And let us be peacemakers into the world, that we may help more people appreciate their diversity, because there was a reason that we were not created to all be the same. There are many pieces of God that are embedded into reality, and he needs many emissaries of love into the world to extract those pieces of gold, polish them, and carry them forward to shine a light upon everyone else. If someone disagrees with you, I suggest you just say, hey, could you tell me more about that? I'd really like to understand you better. And if they can't tell you what they believe, if they can't tell you what such and such is, a philosophy, an attitude, whatever, then chances are it was acquired from someone else. And you're not even talking to the person who originated that conflict. Keep going and find out who originated that conflict and ask a question. Can you tell me more about this idea you have? I would be interested to learn. We are here to learn from one another. We're here to support one another. And we are here to help each one of us achieve our best. In everybody, there's somewhere, either shining brightly or hidden, the best they can be. Wouldn't it be better if they were shining the best they could be? That's my belief. That's why I'm here. That's why I forward the teachings of Yeshua. Because he came here for you. He didn't need another throne to sit on. He was already who he was. He didn't come here to learn from the prophets. He came here to help the prophets be more learned in their own knowledge and their own wisdom. He didn't come here to pave a path that has never been created. He came to bring a path that was created by the Father for all of us the day and the moment humanity was created. And yes, there are forces in the universe that are jealous that we were given that path. But don't let that jealousy stop you. Keep walking on the path, even if you don't understand it right now. Look for your heart. Look for the best in your heart. Look for the best thoughts you can think. Look for the best work you can do in the world. And just do it. Just do it. Don't get buried in trying to figure out why did this happen or something else happen or why don't I understand. Just find the best in yourself. And do it. That way, you will be a treasure to those who know you. Okay. Well,
that's beautiful, Glenda. Just thank you for that. That's, I think that meant a lot to all of us to hear you say all those words. So what a beginning. Yes. Thank you.
I was just kind of mimicking Yeshua and what I've heard him say to me so many times. You know, I can't count the times when I went to him and I said to him, please help me understand. And he would say to me, I could, but it's more important that you find your own understanding. And I would say, how? By walking the path. He said, I came here to give you a path. And sometimes it won't be easy. Sometimes there will be things you don't understand, but take the next step and it will be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, do the best you can do and continue doing the best you can do. Find other people you can help do their best and more and help them do their best. And that's how you come together. Even if you're diverse, even if right now you don't agree, you'll find out as you go along. So I think that's about all I could say right now. But we're going to read the conclusions to his beautiful message about responsibility and will, which I think couldn't be more perfectly timed with many of the questions that we're asking right now all over the world.
Yeah.
So, Nancy, pick up the book and read.
I'd be delighted. Folks, we are on Will and Responsibility, as Glenda said, and we are on page 133, towards the end of that page, where Yeshua says to us, when you cannot easily know and receive your body's messages, and when you do not instinctively do the right thing, there is a gap between spirit and will. When the two are in harmony and joy permeates your life, you always do exactly what you should be doing, and for no other reason except that is what you feel like doing. The spirit sees all possibilities. The will then selects among all possibilities what is right for the moment. The merger of will and spirit creates a state of true sensitivity. Unconditionally accept your feelings. Even if there is something that needs to be changed or to be reformed. Everything experienced is valid for some reason in the moment when it occurs. Maximum learning, growth, and attunement come from looking at your feelings exactly as they are. Then you can make choices about how to respond. That is responsibility. This union takes place in the heart, and this balance creates a reality that meets your needs without overriding anyone or anything. Unfortunately, the will has been so severely disciplined on earth that it is extremely confused and is very much like an abused child that demonstrates its pain with further abusive action. The answer is not more suppression. The answer is trust and restoration of the will's instinctive desire for life and living. Not only actions, but understanding and receptivity must evolve as well. Denial of feelings has created an imbalance in the heart. Denial of the will is often filled in by what is actually a false will. This consists of a false feeling the person convinces himself he actually has. It also consists of hurt and misdirection caused by many earlier denials of will by self or others. Glenda, can I ask a question there? Is that
sure.
Kind of like what you were talking about when, you know, when you're talking to a person, hey, help me understand, And you discover they don't really even believe what they're saying because they've kind of denied their own feelings but borrowed someone else's?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When I was, I was listening to some replays of some Charlie Kirk campus rallies when someone would come to him with a question, sort of like, well, an accusation, sort of like, well, I don't like you because you're a fascist. And he could say, well, would you tell me what a fascist is? He's very innocently like a child. And usually what he would find out is they didn't know. They didn't even know what a fascist was. It was just a trend going around, and it was part of the negative attitude toward him. And he would try to trace it back with just more questions. And, that's the way I was with Yeshua. I didn't make proclamations to him. My goodness, what right would I have to make proclamations about my feelings, my beliefs, or my misunderstandings to the Lord of life? Really? And I really think what makes Love Without End and the keys of Yeshua so powerful is it all originated from questions.
That's true.
What right do, I mean, really, I look at my human limitations. Well, you know, I'm a pretty good person as far as goodness and persons go, but I don't know everything. I am like a flea compared to God. And what right have I to say that things are this way or that way? But I can sure ask questions. And so can you. And you should.
Thank you, because you did ask a lot of really good questions. That really helped all of us.
I mean, yeah. That's my contribution to the book, is the questions I asked.
Mm-hmm.
And his contribution to the book is the answers he gave.
And there's no threat in a question. There's sort of a joining of, you know, let's just love each other, be civil, and ask a question.
Exactly. And we got momentum on that ground because I learned how to ask better questions,
mm-hmm.
and that's also a blessing that comes from truly well-crafted prayers. And what I mean by that is a prayer that begins with a logical beginning, which is gratitude. Who gave us life in the beginning? Well, Creator of the universe, either directly or indirectly. Whether you want to say you were individually appointed into your life, or you want to say that you were a consequence of life that preceded you. Either way, God created you. And so gratitude is the most appropriate opening for any prayer. Any prayer. And then anything that expresses humility. Like, Father, I really don't understand, and I pray that you give me the wisdom to understand. And then you go on from there. You can actually build intuitive momentum within a prayer if you start off in the right way and you follow sequentially everything that comes next. Then, when you really ask the right questions, you'll get the answer. You always will.
Thank you.
You know, I'm thinking a seminar on prayer might be a good thing.
I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah. I think our world needs a lot of prayers. And I think we need prayers with wisdom, compassion, forgiveness, and aspiration. Like, what can I do? Where do I find the best that can be or can be offered into this world? I think we need a seminar on prayer.
We do, and it's perfect timing.
We do. You know, most often we go to prayer when we need something. We go to prayer when we're lacking or we're hurting or somebody we love is hurting and we need help. And our emphasis and our opening line is something like, oh, Lord, help me, or help my wife, my husband, my child, my brother, my neighbors. Are these disruptive people? Can you teach me how to live with them better? You know, that's usually our opening line. And it doesn't lead anywhere because it's a question that doesn't have an answer yet. God talks to you. I want to tell you something real interesting here. Now, listen, everybody. God talks to you through yourself.
That's really true. Yeah.
You are his child. Think back to your early childhood when you would ask your mom or your dad something, and they would answer with a question because they wanted you to get it for yourself. Why? Because they knew if you answered your own question, you'd remember it and you would honor it and there was nothing to fight back with.
Yeah.
The Lord of the universe, who created the cosmos and also us, uses the same method. So you got to start a conversation. A conversation that honors and respects the one you're talking to, but also credits yourself with the ability to understand and receive. I want to ask a very pointed question. If you had an invitation to meet with Yeshua, I'm talking about just, he was going to be there, and you had an invitation. You could walk into the ballroom, and it might not be a throne he's sitting on, because he always took the more modest route, but would you not take a bath first? Even if it's just a t-shirt, wouldn't you put on a clean one, a nice one? Wouldn't you shine your shoes? I mean, really, I'm not saying you should go out and buy a tuxedo or a ball gown. Of course not. He was humble. But wouldn't you be clean? Wouldn't you make a good appearance? Wouldn't you want to be seen as a person that honors yourself? Yeah, you would. So why don't you show up in prayer that way?
Wow. Yeah, that's what you taught us, and that's what he taught us in Love Without End, about getting into the Sacred Heart, like washing yourself off with baptismal waters, and because God only sees you as the perfect you, and be clean.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How beautiful.
You want him to recognize you, don't you? He might say, well, in fact, Yeshua said more than once to his apostles, you might arrive and I'll say, I don't know you. I don't know you. Why? Because you didn't show up as yourself. You can walk into your Sacred Heart wanting to be uplifted, informed, transformed. And the heart won't let you in. You say, I can't get in. I knock on the door and it doesn't answer. And I might say, well, why? It's claiming it doesn't know me. Yeshua used that parable teaching me. And I said, well, why? And he said, because you're trying to enter as your ego. You're trying to enter as someone you're not. He said, don't even enter. Don't even try to enter as the sinner you are. Don't even do that. We'll get around to that. That's about the third part of the prayer, if you remember, that he taught us. You enter by acknowledging God. The criminal that hung on the cross beside him didn't say, I'm such a sinner, but I see you as who you are. No, he didn't. He hung there along with Yeshua and he said, oh Lord, I see you for who you are. He spoke as a proud man who could be who he was as God created him, giving witness to Jesus the Christ. You can enter every prayer that way. You enter your own heart that way. Then you can get around to all the things you didn't do so well, or maybe mistakes you made, or hurts you've made to others. Yeah, of course, you need to get around to that, but that's not who you are. You won't get entry through that. You've got to, first of all, recognize who you really are. And my friends, that is the true definition of repentance. Repentance means turn around and go home. That's what it means. It doesn't mean confess what a dirty, horrible person I've been. That's not repentance. That's wallowing. To get pity. To stand in shame. That is not what God wants of you.
It's actually repugnant. Yeah.
Exactly. He wants you to walk into the palaces of heaven as a noble woman, a noble man. We see this in the parable of the prodigal son. The son returned home. He knocked on the door. And he walked in. And before he could say anything, his father was embracing him with joy and tears and welcoming him home. And his brothers were so jealous that he had the right to go out in the world and do whatever thing, indulgent experience he might have had. And then he had the audacity to walk into the door as a son of their common father and be welcomed back.
Yeah.
I want you to see that.
Sandals and a ring and a robe and, right?
Exactly. Exactly. God only sees you as who you really are. And yeah, he also sees all the things you could have done better or you did wrong or you just copped out on it. You knew better, but you didn't do it. All right, he knows about all those things, but that's like something we'll get around to later. Maybe we'll have a school refurbishing session, but right now we have a celebration. We have come home to our Father, and that's all he wants from you.
Beautiful.
Okay. Well,
that was wonderful. I'm so glad you said that was perfect. So we're so thankful. Yes, I will finish up. We just have a couple more paragraphs. Yeshua speaking to us. Glenda, he says, be patient with yourself and others. Your understanding of will is sure to progress as you move forward in your sensitivity and understanding of life. Initially, everyone sees will as the pushing and efforting of ego as it attempts to make oneself, others, and reality conform to how you think it should be. In doing so, one attaches will to personality and the projection one has about life. This is false will. False will does not support your fulfillment, or even your survival for that matter, because it has a particular attraction for conflict. False will leads to depletion and emptiness. It leaves you feeling like something is missing, that you have no inner support or capacity to persevere. As you move through life, the essential will comes more clearly into view. Essential will is the power that has actually supported you and carried you to where you are. That power has allowed you to survive and thrive, no matter what your condition. Unlike false will, the essential will is felt as a sense of inner support that brings personal confidence and higher guidance. The best way I can describe essential will is the feeling of going with the flow of one's being. And that is the completion of his message. And I know you wanted to move on to inspirations. But that's just so beautiful because you started the chapter with being and your question about being. So we go come full circle. Thank you,
yes,
Glenda.
We have. And we have already read the correlation. Because we've been on this chapter for 3 weeks. And so we got through all of the correlations before. But I'm finding the inspirations are really, really perfect for this day. The difference between correlations and inspirations is this. Correlations are quotes from the Bible that either Old Testament, New Testament, that correlate the heritage of God's Word that has preceded these, that we can see they're coming really from the same person with the same emphasis, just a little more clarification for our modern age and the words that belong now but are not actually different from the words that were spoken before. But the section on inspirations comes from our own human ancestors of wisdom who have spoken to us from a human voice, things that we can relate to what we just read or implement in our own human levels of thinking. So we've got three great quotes today, and I will read those, Nancy, because I want to give, I might slide off a little bit after with comments, or I might not. I mean, they are perfectly said as the way they are. This is from, the first one is from Thomas Jefferson, one of the founders of the United States and the signatories on the Declaration of Independence. And what he wrote is, "The God that gave us life gave us liberty at the same time." That is extremely relevant to the thoughts that are going through the minds of many people today, and not just in our country, but as a collateral expansion around the world. And then the third inspiration, I'm gonna temporarily go past the third one so we can concentrate on it a little more. It's from Alexander Pope, who was an English poet and philosopher. And he wrote, "All are but parts of one stupendous whole, whose body nature is, and God, the soul. And now we're going to cross the shores into Lebanon. And sometimes it was referred to as Persia. To Khalil Gibran. He wrote, "Your soul is oftentimes a battlefield upon which your reason and your judgment wage war against your passion and your appetite. Would that I could be the peacemaker in your soul, that I might turn the discord and the rivalry of your elements into oneness and melody. But how shall I, unless you yourselves be also the peacemakers, nay, the lovers of all your elements? Your reason and your passion are the rudder and the sails of your seafaring soul. If either your sails or your rudder be broken, you can but toss and drift, or else be held at a standstill in mid-seas. For reason, ruling alone, is a force confining, and passion, unattended, is a flame that burns to its own destruction. Therefore, let your soul exalt your reason to the height of passion, that it may sing. And let it direct your passion with reason, that your passion may live through its own daily resurrection, and like the phoenix rising above its own ashes." That was probably written somewhere around 1930. Khalil was born in 1883, so he's not far removed from our contemporary issues. He was actually at the headwaters of what we were going to face and had a poetic vision and a comforting guidance in his words about how to face what was coming. Well, my friends, we're in it now. And we may be in it for a while to come, because we each have to calm the passions and temper the reason that would try to figure everything out intellectually. I'm going to say in a casual voice what Yeshua said to me many times. The intellect is insufficient. It will try to serve its own purposes, or even worse, to create an ego presence that knows more and feels itself better than other people. Be cautious of the ego presence of the intellect overstepping powers that were never given to it. But also, be careful of passion that has driven past or accelerated the path of its own destruction. For passion in extreme will consume itself and not accomplish its purpose. We are often reminded that the last week of Yeshua's life was the Passion Week. And of course it was, in the spirit of Holy Passion. But at every step, he tempered it with humility. At every step, he surrendered to the will of God. And he wrote out for us to experience directly the legacy of his life. That not by reason, but by my body, I will continue with you. Not by my passion, but by my blood, I will give you life. And then he surrendered. He surrendered to the will of God and said, O Father, let it be. I think that there is no greater teacher for us about the real meaning of will and responsibility than Yeshua himself. So, I leave the two of you to have a continuing discussion in your heart and in the better part of your mind and in your life as you go out into the world to live it.
Definitely.
That's it. That's it from us today. And Nancy, we've got just a little bit of time. Let's say we've actually got maybe 20 minutes till 10 after 4 where we can open the board.
Okay.
And just remember, everyone, that I don't know how many people will log into the board. I'll keep you posted so that you know, but let's keep our comments focused upon how they will benefit others. I have already given you a pathway to ask for your private blessings, and that's because they really should be private. But there might be a lot of things you would like to contribute as part of your life to bless others. There may be a lot of things you would like answers to as a blessing that may serve us all. So let's open the board, Nancy.
Okay. Stormy, I believe it's you, and we missed you last week, so welcome, Stormy.
Yes, I would like a blessing for the new life in my housekeeper. As she is turning 40, she really wants to bring this baby into the world. She wasn't planning on it, but I'm only the second person she's told. She tells me everything about her life. She's like a daughter to me, and she's already having some complications. But I just want a blessing from this blessing group for her. And I also wanted to mention... And I've said this before, you, Glenda, and everybody in my life is an answer to my prayer, as I am an answer to your prayer and everybody that I meet.
Indeed. And that's the truth we truly share. Thank you, Stormy. That was beautiful. And we will remember your housekeeper and also her child on board.
Yes, Rachel Tucker. Rachel Tucker is her name. She has always kept her maiden name, even with three children. She never wanted to take any name but her maiden name. No marriage. She doesn't need no marriage to have kids. She's a very independent, strong woman, and she's a blessing in my life.
That's great. Thank you, Stormy, for sharing her with us.
Yes.
Okay. Bye-bye, Stormy. You take care of yourself, too. And we pray for you.
Yes, we do. Thank you. Thank you, Stormy. And we have another caller from area code 858.
Hello. Hi, this is Sandra. And
hi, Sandra.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you, Glenda, from the top of my heart for paying tribute to Charlie Kirk. So much gratitude and appreciation for recognizing him and who he was, and it is, he lived his truth, he spoke his truth, and he did it always in a very respectful way. And even though I didn't always agree with him, I really loved and respected him for how he did this, how he delivered his ideas to college students all over the country. And so thank you so much for this.
He's in my heart too. And
yeah.
I've already given many blessings to not only to him. He doesn't need my blessing. He's with Yeshua right now. He's blessed. But to
definitely.
His family and to
yeah.
everyone who's trying to figure this out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's heart-wrenching. It's been a very difficult week with murders. And I want to make a comment about something that Yeshua said in the second last paragraph of Will and Responsibility. He said, your understanding of will is sure to progress if you move forward in your sensitivity and understanding of life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Charlie, you know, he was very sensitive and quick-witted with his answers.
Mm-hmm.
It was what he was deep and thoughtful, and he wanted to understand other people.
Yes.
He didn't like cut them down at the knees or criticize them or anything. In my life, this has been very difficult for me because some of my closest relatives, just say, I don't want to talk about it. And I have one neighbor that I can't share ideas with because she tells me, keep your opinions to yourself. And the other neighbor, for 15 years, just says, I don't want to talk, don't talk to me. He can't deal with any other opinions. And I think that when we understand each other, it is so much easier to love one another. And if we can't have communication, there is no understanding. And
correct.
And so when people are like discounting another person's being, their humanity, their individual differences, I just don't think there's any real love there. You know, this is my struggle. You know, it's like they don't want to hear my ideas. They don't want to talk about it. It really makes it so much more difficult to love them. Now I know we're called to do it anyway, but it's been a barrier for me.
It is for all of us. You're not alone, Sandra. You aren't. And that's the first thing I want you to know. You're not alone. And actually, I want to illuminate something else. And that is that hatred is not the opposite of love. People hate because their love was once betrayed, because love once failed them. Because they loved, and that love did not, transform a situation.
Right.
They hate because they failed. They hate because nobody has their back. Okay. The opposite of love is fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's recoiling from truth. It's recoiling from life. It's recoiling from love or from an opportunity to understand.
Right.
It's even recoiling from God.
Mm-hmm.
Fear. Fear is the opposite of love. And whatever you can do in your life to reduce the fear in people around you, do it. If they don't mm-hmm. want you to speak, don't. Don't force it on them.
Mm-hmm.
Let them be. But talk to somebody else. Talk to those. Keep yourself open. In other words, don't allow fear to control you. That's where it's really, really, so many people tried to shut down Charlie with hating, hate expressions. He wasn't put down with hate because he knew that hate was just love that failed. He understood that. They tried to shut him down by threatening him. He didn't succumb to fear. But he would go on and talk to somebody else. Let me tell you something. A secret.
Yep.
Yeshua did the same thing. He
loved him anyway. Yep, he loved him anyway.
He loved him anyway, and then he would talk to those who wanted to listen.
You know, I've been really thinking about, why does somebody, like, say, I don't want to talk about it, or don't talk to me, or keep your opinions to yourself? I was thinking.
Because they're scared.
And they
may know that they're going to react. They're going to react, Sandra, and they decide they don't even want to have that ugly part of themselves, you know? They're afraid.
Yeah.
Like, they're afraid.
They're afraid. There's only one word to describe it. It's fear. First of all, they don't want you to push something on them. They don't want you to control them. They don't want you to confront their unbelief, their stupidity, or their weakness, or their fractured life. They're afraid of you. This is something that good people have such a hardship grasping. You're a good person. Yeah. Why would anybody be afraid of me?
Yeah.
So then they start chalking it up to hatred. It's not hatred. It's fear.
Yeah. I don't want to take any more of your time. I really appreciate your answer. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say this for everybody else. If they're afraid, let them have it. Leave them alone. But talk to somebody else. This is exactly what Yeshua did. This is how he handled it. He just moved on.
Yeah.
He found enough people who would listen that it became a movement that changed the world.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm so glad you asked that question, Sandra. Thank you.
It was a great question. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Glenda, our line is open. Our board is open. We do have a few more minutes, folks. So if any of you want to come on board, community, we'd love to hear from you. Clarification. I just love when we do have Nancy here. Let me open your line, Nancy. Nancy, welcome. I'm so glad you're here, Nancy.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad to be a part of this community. Thank you so much. I wouldn't have called, but the board was empty, and I wanted to ask for a blessing for a friend of mine named Linda, L-Y-N-D-A, and she needs help and healing with basically her entire circulatory system. Her blood vessels have weakened, and it's to the point that even to provide procedures for her heart, she doesn't have donor blood vessels strong enough to do that procedure. So the doctors are saying that they prefer that she not take the risk, and it has, and as you can imagine, it's very upsetting thing to hear. And so I ask not only for the healing of her entire circulatory system, but also to lift her up and instill hope and understanding that all things are possible when we are open to God's will. So just surround her with love and healing energy. That's my request for her. And that God's will be done.
Yes. By God, anything can be done.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. So.
And we remember you too, Nancy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it, and I wish everyone on the call the best. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Nancy. We're so glad you're here. And we have our last caller. We have Ken. Ken, welcome today.
Oh, hello, Nancy, and hello, wonderful Linda. What a powerful message that you were able to present today. A lot of different thoughts come to mind, but I'll try to make them quick. The first thing is that, you know, when we all deal with fear and suffering and loss, it's one thing. And we all deal with pain in many different ways. But when it deals with either the emergence or the passing of a life, it's like it becomes very, very, very real. And that reality, depending upon where we stand within ourselves, can either be terrifying or it can be a realization of an open door. That what the door truly is. And I know that within Yeshua's teachings, you know, people get all lost in terms of the crucifixion and all this kind of stuff. I look at it as saying is that humanity had forgotten what the true passage of what happens when a life comes into this world and the true capability of when a life chooses or, even if it's not necessarily by choice, leaves the world. And so it's kind of like putting headlights on a road that you kind of forgot existed. And, you know, the beautiful thing is that in many ways, I think that's obviously what Yeshua did, and also what people are feeling with the passing of Charlie and realizing, oh my God, it's so close, it's so real. You know, here's Mr. Normal, and it happened to him, and he did it. So the fear is, oh, well, maybe that means I can do it too. And so I think that's a very big, important point.
Yeah. This is why we love our heroes. Our heroes open the door to find our courage. This is why it's going global, because everybody around the world is looking for their courage. They may not be subscribed to or embracing the approach to discourse or living or values that Charlie did, but he was a hero. And everybody's wanting to have more courage to live the life they came to live, to do the work they're here to do. And they know that by us joining in the spirit of courageous action, we will all make changes in the world. And I celebrate that with all my heart.
The one thing I would also add is that the courage does not have to be hard. It can be soft and loving and kind. And when I was listening to Erica, his wife's message, you know, one of the things that was so profound is that, you know, he didn't really care about politics. I mean, sure he did. But he said that, you know, the two things that were like so real in his life were his faith and his love to her. And that brought out the thing that said, true courage is not a masculine thing. It's a balance of the divine and holy feminine and the masculine. And I think that that other side has gotten belittled, disgraced, ignored, forgotten for way too long. And so when I look at where I try to find my strength, it's always on the feminine first, and then the feminine allows a place for the masculine to come forth, and then the masculine is the thing that then does the work and then resupports the feminine at the same time. And to me, that's like a holy balance that until you really see the chemistry or the alchemy of what that is and what gets created from it in that perfect harmony, it's like you're missing the point. And you don't need to look very far. Every blade of grass, every tree, every flower, every single thing in nature is the perfect balance of that. And we just have to remember it so it can become more life within ourselves and what we present forward.
It's true, you can. It is so true. And it's important, you know. It's beautiful, Kim. As always, you make such wonderful contributions. And I thank you so much for being in our community and a loving force that carries us to the better place in our own being and thinking.
Thank you.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, I think we are at 4:10. So, Ken, you carried us to the perfect moment. Nancy, let's just close off the Q&A right now, and I will make a few introductory remarks to precede our blessing.
Glenda, we don't hear you.
Oh, well, thanks, Nancy. That was
that was
truly an accident, or maybe everybody needed a break from my voice. Anyway, whatever it was, I'm back, and I'm calling you, everyone, forward. Let's come forward to receive our blessing. I remember as a child, it used to listen to Billy Graham. He was my early apostle, if you will, because I considered him brilliant. And I'm talking about being a six-year-old child, listening to him on the radio. And I would remind my mother every time he was on. And if she wasn't there, I would find him. I was literally drawn to the messages of Yeshua. And I love the way he delivered them. At any rate, that's neither here nor there right now. But what is he always did an altar call. And someone asked why they had to come to the altar. And he said, because you need to prepare yourself to receive the blessings of Christ. You need to come forward and declare your intentions to receive. It's a little bit like the teaching Yeshua said to the apostles, knock and the door will open, ask and you shall receive. We have to be responsible to activating our own will, because it's not our job to activate the will of God. God's will already exists. It's already embedded in creation. Everything he intended for you is already here. It's already here. You don't ask for his will. You're asking for your ability to receive. You're asking for what you need. You're asking for your redemption, renovation of thinking, betterment of living. You're asking to discover and receive. And you will discover and receive in the coming times ahead, whether it's one moment, a year, 5 years, you will receive. And so many people have written me about how something miraculous happened they couldn't possibly explain or understand, but they remembered a time in a blessing when they were told to be assured that this would happen. We cannot impose on the will of God. And don't hesitate coming, thinking, well, am I worthy to impose on the will of God? No, you're not, and neither am I. Even Yeshua would not impose upon the will of his Father, because he knew that the destiny was already inscribed into the inevitability of creation. But we can make ourselves open to the will of God by aligning our will to it. That's why I want you to participate in becoming ready. And the first thing we do is we're just going to get a little bit of movement coming through us. We remember that everything is energy. Even our thoughts, even the Spirit, even the Holy Spirit is energy. All of creation is energy. So you've got to move. You've got to activate that energy within yourself. And it doesn't matter what you move. If you're bedridden, move your toes. Move your hands. Move your head to the right and the left. Your chin up and down. Blink your eyes, whatever it takes to generate motion. And you might be surprised if you ever read a report on how powerful it is to blink your eyes to the whole movement of the body. Everything moves in response to anything you move intentionally. If you can stand, then please do that. Extend your legs. Extend your arms. Move your arms. You can move them in a posture of grace, a posture of celebration, or just reaching for the ceiling. Do whatever you can do to reach and deploy to yourself the energy of God. Accept that it moves through you, and it shall bring you the seeds of blessing that will sprout in their proper time, in their proper and fulfilled ways. And everything will prosper these seeds. Time and situations will bring the rain and the sunshine, the opportunities, the nourishment, and the tilling of soil. And the seeds will sprout. They will bring forth everything you need. For your life has already been appointed. It has been confirmed. It has been blessed. But you need to receive the blessing. So let's just stand or sit or move in any way you can right now together. Just become an active force for your body, an active force for your spirit to understand, for your emotions to expect and
express in gratitude. And I would suggest that you move. This is something that could apply to anyone. Just be seated as you need to be for your blessing, and move your shoulder, move your torso and your shoulders forward, because it relieves the stress in your spine and your lower back. Then extend your arms to stretch and move them back to stretch the front side of your torso, your chest. Okay. And feel the stretch as you lean your neck back to stress the forces of life moving up to your head, to furnish your thoughts with new energy, and to relax your thoughts that otherwise would worry. Just let it be. Tilt your head to the right and the left, and then forward so that you stretch the back of your neck, and then up. Okay. Now take a very, very deep breath. Fill your lungs totally to capacity and hold it for a few seconds. As long as you can. And now blow it out and move forward to collapse your lungs between your arms, moving forward with your chest. Then move up again and take another deep, deep breath. Fill it again and move back so that your chest expands in front of you. Hold it for a few seconds, as long as you can, and then blow it out. Lift your arms, first the right and the left, and wave them, reaching for the sky. And now fold your arms in front of your chest, clutching your heart, that it can be open and relaxed, relieved and fulfilled, that a blessing is on its way. To prepare for your blessing further, I want you to be seated with your feet on the floor or the ground, wherever you are, because the earth will give you a blessing too. As Ken was talking about, this is the feminine force, your mother, the creator of your body, the sustainer of your health, where we look to for medicine. As the Lord said to Adam, look to nature, for there is all your medicine. And we look to the heavens, as Yeshua commanded us to do, for there is your resurrection. There is your ascension to holy ground. As we do these things, now settle into peace in your chair and be prepared. I'm going to offer my prayer to Yeshua. And then you will follow with yours. And I ask the blessing givers to stand and join me. Be ready to conduct this sacred energy of love, of holiness, bliss and provision provided by the Holy Spirit, and the love of Christ, and the grace of our Heavenly Father. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, giver of all bounties into our life, the one who joins us into a common family of potential, creation, and love, that we may each look for and discover the best of our lives, the best of who we are, and the bounty of God that has been given to us. We come to you in peace, asking that your will be poured through us, and that we have the courage to stand in faith along with the will of divinity, the will of God, the Holy Spirit, and the manifestation of God on earth in your love. We come to you now with the expectation of a child, knowing fully in our heart that you can meet our needs, that you can feel our pain and bring us into recovery and blessing. For all that we face in life, we ask this for those who are in trouble but don't know it yet. And we ask this prayer for those who are in terrible trouble, that they surrender to your will and your greater redemption from all the horrors they face. We thank you for our leaders. We thank you for all those who pray for us and who stand ready to guide us on a higher and greater pathway. We are beginning our reunification, and we ask that you bless it. And we ask especially that you bless our children, for they are the future that our Creator has appointed to us. Their hearts are precious. Their minds are open that they may receive the teachings of God, that they may be the leaders into the future, despite whatever pain may come to them. We ask that you bless the mothers carrying a future in their womb. We ask that you bless the fathers who will provide for a new generation, that we all may find our power in you. Now and forever, we praise your love, your divine management of life, to bring it into its perfect resolution in faith and glory. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me in conducting the energy of the Holy Spirit, which is given to all and received according to our will and desire and need to receive. Amen. 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 And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, I want you to lie down. Stretch out horizontal, flat. All parts of your body being equal. Let there be no supremacy between your little toe or your brain. It's all you. It's all you created by the image and the grace of God. Receive without qualification, without condition, and let it be part of you continuing into the hours, the days, the weeks, and the years of your living. And I send you my blessings personally. Thank you for being here. You enrich our Sundays for everyone. Bye-bye for now.